Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, at your bidding, we have come into your house to pray and to hear your saving word, that we may obtain instruction, consolation, and refreshment for our souls. Therefore, we humbly implore you to open our mouth, ears, heart, and mind by your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly learn your holy word, and with hearty desire, eagerness, and devotion, attend to it, and from it learn to know you, that in the midst of all trials and needs, we may have your comfort, mercy, and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Thus far our text. So let's compare these two men, right? Jesus begins by setting the stage of public opinion. One man, that is the Pharisee, is righteous by human standards. One man, that is the tax collector, is not. You see, the Pharisees, as much as we like to point our finger at them and sort of say what a bad thing they did to our Lord, they were the most upright, righteous people of their time. If there was ever a lifestyle that needed to be emulated, it was that of the Pharisees. They were pious. They were considered to be good. They were the most likely to inherit eternal life. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were despised. Most tax collectors increased their salary dishonestly by taking more taxes than the government actually asked for. And worse yet, is they were sellouts. Many of these tax collectors were Jews working for the Roman government, and the Jews hated that they had to be ruled by Rome. And so, as Jesus' audience would be hearing this parable, they would immediately see this Pharisee as being somebody good and the tax collector being somebody bad. But what Jesus does is he flips this entire thing onto its head. And so moving on to this comparison, right? One man expresses his thankfulness to God, and one asks for help. Now, first and foremost, there is nothing wrong with thanking God. Nothing at all. We should thank God for what he has given us. We should thank him for all of his benefits, because the reason that we have any sort of daily bread, that is the physical things that we need for this life, is because God has been so gracious as to bestow them upon us. The only reason we have salvation is because God has been so gracious to give us a Savior in Jesus Christ. We are right. We are good to thank God. However, there is a problem when a Christian does not ask God for his blessing. We should be asking God for things in this life, because when we ask God for stuff, it means that we are relying on him. And when we simply are saying that I have no need to ask God of anything in my life, we're either denying our own sin or we're denying our great need on this earth. At the very least, we need to ask Jesus that he might come back and come again swiftly. So one asks, one thanks, that's fine. But the most scathing indictment against the Pharisee is not that he is thanking God to begin with, it's that he's thanking God as a means to pat himself on the back. That's the real problem, right? He attempts to exalt himself. That means lift himself up in the eyes of God. And so he goes, you know, God, thanks for not making me so evil like that guy and that guy, and I'm better than him too. And I'm also better than this tax collector over here. And look at me, God. I give tithes all the time. Did you see that, God? Did you see me give a portion of money back to you? Were you watching? He's doing one of these, right? His arm's getting real tired after a while. In short, he's filled with pride. He approaches God with pride. And that pride blinds him to his need for God's provision. His pride blinds him to his need for God's blessing. And in fact, it is pride that chases away God's mercy and forgiveness. If we're already good enough without God's mercy, then we have a serious problem. Really, what pride does is it prevents us from any form of repentance. And I hate to say it, but we know that we're no better. We're filled with the same sort of sinful pride as this Pharisee is filled with. And it might even be because you're Christian. You ever look out in the world and go, well, look at all these unbelievers. Oh, I'm really glad I'm not like them, God. I go to church every Sunday, and I do my devotions, and I pray every night. And we think that somehow we have arrived as good, pious Christians. My friends, there is always more that we could do according to the law. There is always a way in which we could be better Christians. There is always one more verse from Scripture we could read, or one more minute we could spend in prayer. And if we're constantly patting on ourselves on the back in pride, we miss the opportunity for God's mercy. We miss the opportunity for repentance. But we do this, right? We cast judging eyes. And sometimes it's just really stupid things. But we always, because we are the poor, miserable sinners we confess to be, we're trying to exalt ourselves. We're trying to lift ourselves up. And all the while, it requires us to tear other people down. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't stand in the truth. I mean, you are God's people. You have the truth. You have God's holy word. You should stand on that. When the rubber meets the road and it's truth against falsehood, yes, stand on the truth and confess it. But don't do it with pride. Do it because your neighbor needs to receive God's mercy too. My friends, it's time for us to take the lowest place, the place of repentance, the place of the tax collector. Because you see, the tax collector, his sins are quite obvious. He can't hide from them. And I'd be willing to bet that if we're searching our hearts right now, you can't hide from your own sin either. The mirror of the law has exposed us. And God has searched our hearts. And so what we need to do is we need to cast our eyes, not to heaven, but to the ground. To beat our breasts and to say with the tax collector, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because mercy is something that we don't deserve, but it's something that God willingly gives. Jesus says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. Because God is in the business of exalting the lowly. We don't have to lift ourselves up. God's already really good at doing that. But the more that we can bring ourselves low, the higher God's word can actually take us. And so in humility, in repentance, in faithful petitions, asking God for his mercy, you receive justification too. This is what the confession was about that we started our service with. In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are declared innocent, and God does not hold your sin against you. This is justification, and justification in Jesus alone. Because you know who really had the right to stand like the Pharisee? You know who honestly could have exalted himself as high as he wanted in God's presence? It was our Lord. It was Jesus. If somebody wanted to play the comparison game between being perfect or being, you know, some miserable sinner, Jesus could have done that. And he would have been right to do it. It would have been good for him to take the place of the Pharisee because he is perfect. And yet instead, he goes to the cross. He humbles himself so utterly to become the least of us, to become the worst of us, to absorb all the sinners of the tax collectors, of the extortioners, of the adulterers, of those who lie and cheat and steal, and yes, even your sin and my sin. And Jesus takes it onto himself on the cross. That way there is no wrath of God left for you. And not only is Jesus counted guilty of all of our sin, but he is condemned with him. He bows his head to the ground. And there is no mercy. Instead of going away justified from the cross, Jesus' body is taken down and he is placed into a tomb. But that's where he puts your sins for all eternity. Your sins stay in the tomb. And on the third day, Jesus springs forth from that place, and your sins are nowhere to be found because Jesus has put them to death. My friends, you are forgiven. And those words exalt you into eternal life with God. My friends, are you a Pharisee or a tax collector? Would you rather have your own pride or God's mercy? That's a trick question. The answer is both. We are both saint and sinner at the same time. We are both perfect because of what Jesus has done for us, but that sinful nature still clings to us, and there's nothing we can do about it. Except we can fall before the Lord in humility and allow him to exalt us in what Jesus Christ has done in his death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.